Yeah, yeah. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm on the air. You quit talking to her.
It's got a bit of a car fetish. So anyway,
yeah. Oh, the jokes that happen. So 9:13 is the time. Again, it's the Morning Overload. And all hour long, going to have Miss Angela Hayes hanging out with us as you have an opportunity to text or call in or whatnot and, you know, ask some questions. And, you know, if you don't want us to share anything on air, that's perfectly fine. If you want to talk discreetly off the air, that's cool too. Now, I do want to say this again, and I want to stress it very, very importantly here. This is not an advice. This is not a counseling session here on the show. We do not do that. We are strictly educational. Angela uses examples from previous situations and her thoughts and opinions on these things, but this is not advice for anyone, and I cannot stress that to you enough. But if you do have a question and you know, to share off the air, you can call in 205-402-4267. You can text in as well, 805 to text us. So remember that this morning, 805-283-9887. And Angela will be more than happy to communicate with you. And again, she's not here to give you advice. She's here to share things that have been effective in the past with clients with similar situations and things of that nature. So, again, I cannot stress that to you enough, because we are not here to give you good or bad advice. That's not how this works. But yet to get your wheels turning and to know that we have a resident counselor that is a Christian that is more than happy to pray about your situation while also taking the proper psychological mindset to give you the help that you need. So, Angela, welcome back to the show.
I'm so glad to be here, John.
I like the smile. Like, she went straight into smile mode. Like, she's looking at her phone, looking at her phone. Boom, smile. There it is. And I know that you are genuinely happy to be here.
Yes, I am.
Because we talk throughout the week, and we are friends. And also, you know, your son's awesome, too. We like him. Ironically,
I like
enough,
him, too.
You like him, too? He's not too shabby. Not too shabby. But Aaron's been here hanging out. And it's just a lot of fun to have him on. And this week, so I really want to know, in particular, what got you to thinking about boundaries? Where did that come from? Is it a thing for you as well? Like, is that something that you have to work on too, or what?
I think boundaries are a struggle for many people, with keeping boundaries with your priorities. Boundaries can come in many forms. They can be physical boundaries.
Right.
For instance, there are people that are close talkers. They get like right in your face.
Right.
And so the way I explain to clients is tell them that you have an imaginary bubble
right
around you, and you can only come so close.
Respect the bubble.
Yes. That would be a physical boundary, or setting physical boundaries as far as what's appropriate. Like, even what you teach your kids, like if someone, you know, tries to, you know, touch them inappropriately, or if another kid smacks them, it doesn't mean they have to smack them back. They have to have boundaries too. So you can teach that to your kids as far as physical boundaries. Emotional boundaries are important too, because if you don't have emotional boundaries, you can have many issues with many different areas of your life, such as with work, if you go to school, friendships. So you have to keep your boundaries pretty strict. Emotional boundaries are more like an invisible line that you have for what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in your life.
Right. Is he making you uncomfortable? See, I can just ignore this. As crazy as it is.
Anthony has some things that we probably need to talk on a private level.
We're going to have to work
through
some
stuff. But because of boundaries, I'm not going to like talk to him about this on the air right now.
Because you want to respect
his personal privacy and his personal space.
Yeah, that's so good. No, you don't distract her while we're on the air with serious stuff. Now, for real, like, the time has come, because I've got a serious direction to go in, because I want to make sure that we address this pretty much directly. And I said seriously, and my phone pulled up, of course, because it thought I said Siri. Way to go. Yeah. Anyway, so the biggest thing for me, you know, when you were kind of rolling through the examples of boundaries and things like that, is the kid thing. Boundaries, you know, whether it's in school, whether it's in church, and the more horror stories that you continue to hear about. And so for me, I want to, and that was a big thing with us for Ruby going to school. You know, she's in kindergarten now.
Yes.
And
yes,
we don't expect anything like that to happen. We know a lot of the teachers there. We know a lot of people in the community. But things happen that are so strange, and people have these demons that you don't know they have. Mm-hmm. And it's really scary, you know, going back to talking about Catholic priests, you know, abusing young boys and things of that nature. And I don't know if this is a turn that you wanted to take at some point this morning, but I really want to dive into this because you just keep hearing more and more stuff. And the more and more free-minded our country becomes, the more pedophilia has shown up, and the more people think, hey, well, it's okay to express myself, when no, that's not okay. That's a good way to get dead quick. You know what I mean? And so for you, I want to kind of take that approach and ask about how do, especially with younger kids, how do we raise awareness for them of their own personal boundaries to realize that even though it may be an adult, that, because we teach our kids, you know, you respect adults when your leader, you know, whether it's your teacher or your church teacher or whatnot, tells you something to do, you respect the adult, you do what the adult says. And so we teach our kids, you know, those of us who want our kids to be polite, to follow those rules. How do we teach a five-year-old to understand those boundaries?
You have to be open with them. The way, I mean, I can give an example of how I teach my own kids. You tell them that nobody has the right to touch you, any of your body parts. Nobody has a right to, spank you unless it's of course, your parents.
Right.
Now that I don't think corporal punishment is anymore.
Yeah, I don't
in
think they
school.
Do that.
But that's your personal body, and nobody has a right to touch it. No other kids, no adults. And if somebody does, you need to let us know, let a person in administration know, if it's in school, if it's in church, or you let us know, and we'll take care of it. But you have to make sure you say that. It's kind of like telling them, don't take candy from strangers.
Right.
You have to reinforce it and tell them they have their own personal space, and their personal and their body too is personal, just like their personal space.
Right.
So, for instance, they don't have a right to crowd anybody else's personal space, because some kids, when they're little, like my own, love to hug. Like my little one likes to just hug everybody, and I told her that could infringe on other people's space, their personal space. So you gotta have to make sure they're open to have a hug from you.
So I mean, that's just scratching the surface, really, of so many different things that can really build on this conversation. So the next step and the next question I kind of want to take, and I'm sure you've got stuff that you want to address within this as well, and we've got two more segments to make sure we cover all the bases you want to cover. I want to ask you, let's say that the violation has happened, and you've got, you know, somebody that's now 13, 14 years old, and mm-hmm. they're dealing with the ramifications of what happened in their past and their childhood of boundaries being mm-hmm. violated and, mm-hmm. and them being done wrong. How do you, as a counselor, how do you build trust in them to trust people that they respect and people that they're supposed to look up to and to not fear? You know, and how do you make them realize that they're not the ones at fault? Because so often they blame themselves. You know, kids blame themselves for stuff like that too. Like, oh, if I hadn't have done this or done that or whatnot, you know, maybe that wouldn't happen. How do you remove guilt, and how do you get them to continue to follow the respect and the guidance of older people and leaders in their life?
Well, first of all, I make them feel comfortable when they come to my office. I sit at a, always sit from my clients a respectable distance from them too.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own personal space, and we talk about that. We talk about what has occurred, but I don't ever force them or make them feel like they have to share everything.
Right, yeah.
I make them feel comfortable about sharing it, tell me more about that, and let them know that it's not their fault and that this person overstepped and a boundary. In fact, if it was abuse, that it's abuse of what's happened to him.
Right.
But not all adults are like that, of course. And then we talk about how to set appropriate boundaries, such as naming your limits. You have to limit with boundaries. You have to set your own mental, physical, spiritual limits. Also, you have to be in charge of that. I teach them how to tune into their feelings, such as when they start to feel discomfort about a situation, because discomfort can mean that they're sensing that it's an uncomfortable situation. They need to remove themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really important. Also, with setting some boundaries, also for them to to know themselves enough to be self-aware that when they do start to feel uncomfortable in a situation, that they know it's time to set some limits for themselves.
How do you break that mindset of them being afraid to tell on somebody? Especially with like a teenager that's been violated, that's boundaries have been, you know, overstepped and whatnot. How do you break through and find out why they weren't willing to share that something happened to them?
Well, can I share a really sad instance that many times the teenager or the person did share the abuse that was going on with them, and they reported it to the guy or their guidance counselor, and DHR might have become involved, and the situation sometimes goes unresolved.
Yeah.
So it's not even a sense that they don't want to tell anybody. Most of the clients I see have told adults about what's happened to them.
Wow. And then nothing happened.
There's either been a resolution to it or there hasn't been a resolution, but many times they will go to a guidance counselor or somebody that's in authority to tell them that this is going on.
But yet nothing happens. What does that do to the psyche?
Not all the time.
Yeah.
Not all the time. I mean, I'm not going to say that because we have a system in place to protect children, which is the DHR, and I have a lot of respect for the DHR. But in many situations, the situation will be investigated, and they can just do the best they can to investigate it, and the child is either removed and placed in foster care, and then sometimes it repeats itself. Because I've helped many foster kids when I was working for a behavioral facility, and that happens in foster care too, and they'll let them know and let their social worker know, so they'll get moved again into a new foster home. So it increases even more trauma for that child. So we have to go through a lot in counseling to help that adolescent or young adult or even child process through everything that has happened to them, so they know that it's not because of them this happened to them, that they were the victim of this situation, and now they're a survivor of this, and
amen,
they continue to be a survivor.
Wow. I mean, so that's pretty heavy stuff this morning, and we really want to make sure that we address every side of this. So if there's anything that you kind of want to ask a question about or whatnot that you feel like we can address in one segment, please feel free to text in 805 to text us. That's 805-283-9887. You can also call 205-402-4267. And if you want it to be completely off the air, I promise you, if you don't want us to share anything, we will not. You can talk to Angela quickly and discreetly off the air. So please understand that and believe that, and know that we got you covered this morning. All right. So we're talking about boundaries with Angela Hayes, our Revocation resident counselor, taking care of you here on The Morning Overload. It's Revocation Radio.